And one of the things that I did was to order a device that was going to help me with one of my goals this year. And really, it's just something recently I've felt so curious about is heart rate monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing heart rate mentioned everywhere. I mean, it is, talk about a health and fitness buzzword. I know it's been around. You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. It's because of you that we are a 5-star rated podcast in the iTunes store. So if you haven't done so already, please head there, give us that rating review. We really appreciate it. We're finally into 2017.
We're a month into 2017, if that's like freaking mind-blowing.
Well, I know, but we really haven't got a time to really, we've just been running and gunning since since the January 1st, essentially.
It was a strong start to 2017.
I know, I think this feels like the first actual time we've got to sit back and reflect on, catch our breath, it seems like.
Yeah, and be like, oh hey, we're in a new year, did you know we're in a new year?
I know, yeah, I still can't write 2017 on all the dates I'm writing so far, so I'm still doing 2016, so... But I know when we came back, we're both kind of dead set on, getting back to our normal workout and exercise routine.
Oh God, and I miss my routine so much.
And nutrition routine too. When I came back, I was gained a few pounds from the holiday, which I guess probably a lot of people did.
I think that's to be expected. You kind of should. In my mind, I feel like you should.
Right, so I know.
I know you enjoyed.
That's why I'm kind of dedicating January to doing a couple 30 day quests, I guess, or 30 day challenges.
Detoxes. Challenges. There we go.
That's the word. I'm a regular thesaurus. I love that dinosaur. Anyways, so I think 30 days without alcohol is what I'm doing this month. And then also I wanted to, really get back into my regular exercise routine. One thing I talked about with you when we were kind of analyzing our 2017 our 2017 goals was I wanted to get back into a regular exercise program. I was just like, I wish I had more time. And you were like, you're not going to have more time than you already did. You got to just make the time. And I was like, huh, that's true. So now, once I wake up pretty early around 4:00. I've been, sticking to about a 10 to 15 minute exercise plan that incorporates stretching, some basic pull-ups, kettlebell swings, stuff like that. So, but I've been sticking to it and also been, monitoring my my nutrition this year. So far this year, I also know that you've been doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I had an extra little travel excursion. I went to a little bachelorette weekend. And I'm not gonna lie, there was so much food. There was so much food. And to top it off, we got snowed in. There was a blizzard.
Ooh.
The right smack dab in the middle of the weekend.
Then you can't get away from the food.
So I was basically trapped in a kitchen with a ton of delicious food. So I was extremely eager to get back to it. But right before I left, I had like 3 days in between trips. And one of the things that I did was to order a device that was going to help me with one of my goals this year. And really, it's just something recently I've felt so curious about is heart rate monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing heart rate mentioned everywhere. I mean, it is, talk about a health and fitness buzzword. I know it's been around. You've used heart rate
monitors.
And
we
stuff.
Might have touched on it in the past episodes about zone 2 training, which is just based on heart rate, essentially.
Right.
That's kind of like, yeah, that's the fat burning zone is what they refer to it as. That's where they believe, and a lot of researchers and, trainers believe that that's where you burn the most fat because your heart's not working, your body's not working so hard that it's burning up your sugar stores, it's actually working on the fat stores.
Mm-hmm.
So that's zone 2 training. screen for just a quick reference is a quick and dirty equation. How to find it out is subtracting your age from 180, and then whatever. So if you're 30 years old, subtract 30 from 180, so 150 beats per minute, your heart rate, mm-hmm. that's your zone two. You can subtract or add some points depending on your fitness level. So your zone two will be a little bit, let me see, it'll be a little bit higher if you're more fit. Does that make sense? Well, yeah, so, but basically that's a rough estimate. Another way to the low, another even kind of like more rough way to figure it out is if you can, say you're jogging, if you can hold a conversation while you jog, that means you're in zone two. Once you hit the point where you're huffing and puffing, you can't have a conversation, you're moving into zone three or four. Okay, so then your heart rate's a little bit higher than kind of the zone two fat burning zone.
So as you can tell, there's a lot to this subject. So we actually are going to dedicate today's episode to talking about heart rate and, you know, what is resting heart rate? What does it mean to you? How is all this heart rate working out, heart rate training? What does all this mean? Why should you be doing it? And also heart rate monitors. So I told you I got a heart rate monitor in those 3 days. Thank goodness for Amazon Prime. Little thank you to Amazon. They got me my heart rate monitor within a day of ordering it. Wow. So I took it with me to the Cape just in time to measure my heart rate while I was sitting in a hot tub in a blizzard. Mm-hmm. So good times. But we're going to dive into all that today. And then we're going to actually, I'm going to give a little review on the heart rate monitor I chose, which is the Fitbit Charge 2. So I'll be giving a little bit of a review at the end. For anybody that's interested in heart rate monitors, I did a bunch of research, and this is the one I chose. I'm going to tell you why and why I love it.
So one thing I know that's kind of inspired you to get a little bit more educated about heart rate is the Peloton cycle, right?
Yes, that was like really the first repeatedly. There's about 3 instructors on there, I feel, that really emphasize heart rate or zone training. The guys especially are really focused on that, I feel like. But even the women, they still mention heart rate and the output, that's one of the metrics on the Peloton. They try to guide you to what your output would be without heart rate, and it's tricky. So I really wanted to get a better sense of my cardiovascular health and just really understand what they were talking about. And because I have been seeing heart rate monitoring and heart rate training so much, I wanted to know what I was. I mean, I know that I'm reasonably healthy as far as, you know, I've been working out, but I get stressed still like everybody, and I'm really concerned about my stress, especially at work. I'm really concerned about my heart rate at night, which is my resting heart rate, because I don't sleep well all the time. And we've had so many constant conversations about these kind of worries for me. So mostly understanding where my heart rate, I felt like that was a foundation of my fitness that I've just kind of ignored over the years and felt like it was finally time. I think the technology that exists now is amazing, and you can really get a sophisticated understanding of where you stand.
Right. And then you talked about it, you touched on it a couple times already, resting heart rate being a great indicator of your current health. a great way to find out your resting heart rate. Obviously, Shannon's going to talk about her Fitbit in a second, but there are a couple apps that where you can rest, test your resting heart rate in the morning. We'll make sure we'll add it on to the show notes at elementaltampa.com. But I used it a couple times, an app like just on the iPhone where it can take your resting heart rate, and it's pretty reliable. Obviously, something like the Fitbit is probably more accurate. But your resting heart rate, knowing that, like taking that first thing when you wake up in the morning, can tell you kind of what your overall health is. I think they recommend anywhere from 70 to, I mean, the what was they said the recommended is?
So we looked at a number of different sites, and the Mayo Clinic actually says that the normal resting heart rate for adults ranges from 60 to 100 beats. Now, the Fitbit actually has a lot of data, obviously, because it has so many users. And they range that the normal resting heart rate for adults with their device is 50 to 90. So I think you can tell it's probably, I mean, within 10, it's pretty similar. So somewhere within that 60 to 90 range is probably average, would be considered, you know, decent health. A lower heart rate implies more efficient heart function. That's why that's important. And it really also indicates that you probably have better cardiovascular fitness.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you can get the heart rate monitors, you can get the app, or if you want to go old school style, if you're good at finding your pulse on your wrist, you basically just count the number of pulses there are in 10 seconds, multiply it by 6, and then that gives you your resting heart rate per minute.
Oh.
So that's, you know, some people, it's tougher for some people to find their pulse on their wrist. But you can also do it on your neck, the carotid artery on your neck. All you got to do is a little simple math. But the key is to try to take it at a consistent time. I've heard most professionals recommend first thing upon waking. That gives you a true reading of what your resting heart rate is. Because if you try to take it before bed, maybe you had something go on during the day and you're a little bit stressed out.
Yes.
But if you get right when you wake up from sleep, if you take it then, that'll tell you what your true resting heart rate is.
Yeah, and you see BPM associated a lot with heart rate, and that's because it's measurements of beats per minute. So when we talk about BPM anytime in this, that's what we're talking about. But I've learned that your resting heart rate is not necessarily going to stay exactly the same because there's a lot of different things that can actually influence your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
So your activity level, your fitness level, air temperature apparently is one, your body position, so laying down versus standing up, emotions, which I think probably for anyone makes sense that it would impact that, and then your BMI or your body size, your weight, and then any medications that you have.
Yeah.
Those are all things that impact your resting heart rate.
Right. And generally, obviously, factoring all those things in, generally, the lower your resting heart rate, more more fit you are cardiovascularly.
Yeah, they actually had on the Mayo Clinic, which we'll include links to their site, they had that a really well-trained athlete, guess how many 30? Did you see?
No, I've heard athletes talk about it. It's probably anywhere as low as 30 beats per minute, 35 beats per minute.
40 BPM, is what they said is like considered
healthy. Yeah, I've heard
something
about Lance Armstrong when he was training for Tour de France was 38 or something like that.
That's
was his
crazy.
Resting heart rate. Yeah, so that's, I know, I did a little experiment probably about 5 or 6 months ago where I would take my resting heart rate, then I would use the Headspace app, which is a meditation app.
Ooh.
And I would do this first thing in the morning, and then I would see if there was a difference between the resting heart rate before or after I used the app. So it was a few beats less after the meditation app. But like you said, stress level can definitely affect your heart rate. So that was a little self-experiment I did. But it's a great thing to realize and pay attention to.
Yeah.
This heart rate.
Yeah, and I mean, also understanding how you can influence it in a positive way. So if you are tracking your heart rate, you can also start to identify ways to bring it back down if you see it's getting too high, because you do control it. There are all of those factors we talked about that impact your heart rate. So if you're sensing or you're seeing a trend, you can do something about it, which is exactly why I wanted a heart rate monitor on my body all day. So some of the things that they say that you can do to decrease your resting heart rate, I'm sure you know at least one.
Well, exercise.
I'm sure you know all of them.
I'm sure exercise.
Yes, yeah. So physical activity, and one of the basic recommendations from, I actually got some good information off the Fitbit website. They've done some studies and things, but if you do 15 to 20 minutes a day of activity,
right,
that will actually help get your resting heart rate down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're finding that you have a higher resting heart rate, just starting with 15 to 20 minutes is definitely something that can help.
Right. And that's, I mean, you just think your heart is a muscle. So if you don't exercise, just like your normal muscles, your biceps, your quads, whatever, if you don't exercise, your muscle is going to atrophy to a certain extent.
Yep.
You know, you're, even though it's always beating and it's always working, it's not working as efficiently if you don't exercise it. Mm-hmm. So if you just, like you said, anything as simple as walking, you know, is exercise, is you're working out your heart. So
and it's actually a really good, it gets you into that zone two is usually what they call the fat burning zone.
Yep.
And that is walking. If you're walking for more than 15 minutes, you get some really good orange on the Fitbit. It turns orange, right. A certain color orange.
You don't always have to be huffing and puffing for your exercise. You just, you know, got to be active. It's super important.
Yeah. Yeah, so that and also weight. Your weight, right. If you are, there's been studies that have indicated it makes sense. Your heart has to work harder to get the blood through your body
mm-hmm.
if there's more to your body
mm-hmm.
and
if area,
there's
yeah.
more surface area. And the weight, the fat that's basically an obstacle, that would also kind of impede that. So they found people higher on the BMI index or very low on the BMI index, either one, their heart is really having to pump a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the healthier are in that kind of, you know, healthy zone of BMI.
Right.
So that is also something that can help bring it down. But mindfulness, like you mentioned, the Headspace
right.
app, that is also a really handy tool to bring your heart rate down in a moment. You know, as far as whether you're working out and you're trying to maintain a certain heart rate, or maybe you're just seeing or feeling your heart rate is racing in a stressful moment or an emotional moment,
mm-hmm.
you can use just kind of a almost like a meditation or breathing exercise, a mindfulness exercise to help bring your heart rate back down and help maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some of the Peloton instructors do that in like the endurance type training.
During or after the ride?
During.
During the ride, okay.
Yeah. So, like, when they sense, like, they're getting almost to, like, a zone 3 or 4 and they don't want to be there, they'll start saying, okay, I just close my eyes and focus on my breath and just breathe, like, as clear and intentionally as you can and focus on that breath. And then I've tried it. I've felt my heart rate go down. I felt my breathing ease. Just because of the intention, focusing on your breath. I mean, meditation, all that.
Right.
It's very similar.
Yeah, it's amazing, you guys, how much your cardiovascular fitness will improve by just doing zone two training. By doing that essentially either you got to start with walking if you have, you know, if your resting heart rate's high, your fitness is probably not as good. So starting with walking and you'll build up, you'll realize you'll be doing a light jog and you'll be still in zone two training because mm-hmm. you're improving your fitness. So it's a super, I mean, all the, really, a lot of the, what I've heard when I listen to podcasts is that a lot of endurance athletes, that's what they stick to. They stick to zone two training because that means they can go consistently that pace longer for a period of time. So obviously some people do some sprint training also to as a part of their training, but really a lot of it's zone two training because, I mean, you're thinking about like the Ironman, that could be anywhere from a 12 to 24 hour event. And then ultra marathons. I mean, you gotta be able to put out a consistent output for long mm-hmm. periods of time. And that's why zone two training is so beneficial.
Yeah. And the more you do it, I mean, I only started zone training. And now I'm actually able to do the heart rate training. I was only doing that for maybe 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long I've been doing that. But I noticed a huge change in all my other workouts once I started doing those more like endurance zone training where you're just pushing that zone two for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Your body, I mean, your body actually gradually starts creeping up out of zone two after you've been in it a long time. And it's starting to head towards zone three. So the more training you do in zone two, the longer you're able to maintain it.
Right.
Which is going to, again, have good benefits on your health and weight loss and all of that.
Right.
So I mean, this is just a whole segment, I feel like, that I've completely missed out on in all of my health and fitness training and studies.
You were, I mean, I wouldn't say you were a balls-to-the-wall kind of lady, but you enjoyed HIIT training.
I like super intense training.
Yeah, and it's good to have a balance, like you hear with the zone two training and the endurance, real focus more on, I would call it more endurance training, you know?
Yep.
So it's great, too, and the benefits of it are, obviously, we listened to them already. So what about you kept referencing it, how about the Fitbit? I'd love to hear about what you think about it, because I'm looking to invest in one of those, a similar item.
Yeah, so you'll remember this. Mm-hmm. We were in bed, and right before we were going to bed, ready to go to sleep, and I'm like, I really need to just suck it up and get a heart rate monitor. And I pulled out my iPad, and I'm pretty sure you dozed off at some point, and I was still talking to you.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like me.
What? Craziness. It happens every day.
What?
But I was looking up on my iPad, I was just looking up anything and everything in terms of heart rate monitor reviews. Now, I have a number of Apple devices. So, of course, one of the many heart rate monitors I looked at was the Apple Watch, because I've heard good things about it. I have friends that have it. I figured it made kind of sense in the evolution of my gadget purchases. But that freaking thing is expensive as hell. Whoa. It starts at like $360, almost $400 for like the basic ones. No bells or whistles, no fancy bands or anything like that. And yes, I am glad that they are now waterproof, but still, so wasn't ready to make that level of a purchase. Yeah. And you won't remember this, but you definitely went, when I said, I think it's too much to start with, I should start small, you went, yeah, that's good, that's smart.
So, see, I was awake.
You encouraged me. I was awake. You don't remember. But all the research that I did, I heavily relied on reviews. One of the best review sites I like for, you know, gadgets, what I would term gadgets and technology, is CNET. And they reviewed every kind of heart rate monitor there is, the wearable heart rate monitors. And they rated the iWatch, Apple Watch, whatever it is, very highly. But they rated the Fitbit, and then specifically, we had family members that have received the Fitbit Blaze for Christmas. And that was one of the things that triggered me saying, oh man, I really need to look into a heart rate monitor. I looked at it, and it does seem really cool. The Fitbit Blaze, for those who don't know, is like, it looks very similar to the Apple Watch. It's bigger. It looks and acts very similar to a watch. It has the big square face and everything. But I didn't want that at this point. I wasn't ready to go there. So I took one step down, is the Fitbit Charge. And Fitbit Charge now has a version 2 out. And I guess it just came out towards the end of 2016. So it had just been reviewed by CNET, and they actually rated it slightly above the Apple Watch. And they said it was like the best fitness tracker on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, there's pros and cons. No device is perfect. But as far as the strengths for a heart rate monitor, which is what I was really looking at and what I was looking for, they said it just, like, it can't be beat as far as how slim it is, what it can do. They said never get it wet, granted. Mm-hmm. So you can't wear this if you're a swimmer or something like that. You would need to get one of the devices like the Fitbit Blaze or the Apple iWatch or something like that. I think there's some other waterproof devices out there. But I don't care about that as much. I'm not swimming on a regular basis.
Right.
So as far as what I was looking for, the Fitbit Charge 2 really did seem to nail a lot of it. And it's smaller. It's not as big as the watch. You can see it. And I'll post a picture in the show notes of what it looks like. And kind of, I have small wrists.
Mm-hmm.
I just inherently have small wrists. So a big face on my wrist looks really large and feels really large. This one doesn't. You wear it all the time, except when you're in the shower or in water. You wear it to bed. You wear it to work, the whole thing. And I was committed to really reviewing this baby, so I've worn it for the last several weeks. And I do kind of forget it's there a lot of the time. It's not bulky. It doesn't catch on things a lot. The straps they come with are made from like a plastic rubber kind of substance. And they have a bunch of different, you can actually take these off. You can take off the bands and exchange them for other ones. They sell metal ones. They sell fabric ones, I think. You can get different colors. If you want to match your outfit, you can get some different colors for you. And you said you might buy something in the future.
Yeah, I'm interested.
I'm sure that's top of your mind right now.
Will it match? Yes, hopefully it doesn't clash. That's what I'm hoping for.
So, I mean, that's super important. And I will say, for all of the power of the Fitbit, I think most consistently that everybody says has been the app that it plugs into, the thing that you interface with the most, even though there is an interface screen on the watch. It acts like a watch. It has a watch face. You can change out the screens a little bit, and then you can tap it to click through and see different trackers.
Right.
But it... the app is where a lot of the power is. So I think we'll get a little bit more into the app portion of it.
Yeah.
On a different podcast, because I think we're going to talk about the apps that we like as far as health and fitness and future podcasts.
There was one I think you've been using a lot that I finally started using this, started the 2017. Stay tuned for the next episode, because we'll be talking a little bit more about fitness and health apps and which ones we like and which ones we recommend. You would recommend Fitbit Charge?
Yes, I would highly recommend the Fitbit Charge 2, and I will also just list out some of the features that I really do like. I won't go into the app again too much. So it has a pure pulse, which is a registered trademarked term, heart rate, which is a certain type of heart rate monitor. It's supposed to be more accurate.
Okay.
And then they also have multi-sport tracking, and it's connected to GPS, which means when you start doing a specific activity like cycling, running, walking, you can automatically trigger this to track it. So if you're doing one of these things, it'll automatically start tracking it as that activity for you. So you don't have to worry about plugging it in manually later. It identifies that it's doing these things, that you're doing these things. You can also, it is a little bit like a smartwatch in the sense that you can get notifications. You can get call notification, someone calls me, it starts vibrating and it shows who's calling. You can get text alerts the same way, and even calendar alerts. You also get an assessment of your cardio fitness level, and I think this is a big contributed mostly by the heart rate monitor. It'll tell you where you stand based off of your heart rate in your cardio fitness level. So I could actually tell you right now where I stand with my cardio fitness. I was super excited when I saw this because I had never really heard of this before, but on a scale of, they have it starting at like probably 25 and then it goes up to 50. I am somewhere between a 38 to 42, which is good to very good. For women my age. So they rank you based on your gender and your age, and then it's about your heart rate and how you stack up. So the higher you go to 50 is, you know, that's where you start getting very good to excellent. So I started off kind of in the very good to excellent range, and then over the last couple weeks it slid down a little bit to 38 to 42, but I've held strong there. So that is my cardio fitness score right now, and I just kind of, it's nice just kind of continuously being able to check that out.
I think that's a good thing about these either Fitbit or type of apps that will, and I'm sure we'll go into more, is that it keeps you, it's a way to be accountable. I think it holds yourself accountable, which
on
I think
is a totally new level.
Right, and that's one of the benefits of these new technologies, and it's super important for if you want to stick to a fitness or a nutrition plan.
Yeah.
That's why they're so beneficial.
Yes, and a lot of the apps that we'll probably be talking about really do, I think, focus on that. Fitbit is just one of those, and it incorporates a number of different things. You can auto sleep track. So I know we said, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that I have very bad sleep habits or just experience. I'm not a great sleeper. But you can actually look and see how many times you were restless, how many times you woke up. It senses it by your movement and also your heart rate. So those two things combined allow a little bit more information than just the basic like mobile app trackers, which is what I'd use before to track my sleep. This is a little bit more sophisticated, so you actually do get some good input just on your sleep, which I really value. But you get all-day activity tracking with this, too. And you also can have little reminders to move. So you can set goals on a number of different fronts with this device and the accompanying app. If you wanted to set, like, how many times you wanted to work out in a particular week, again, going back to the accountability side of things, this baby is super helpful. So I set a goal of 5 days per week.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, super excited. It's all green because I hit my goal.
Nice.
And every single day, you kind of get nudged as how you're doing. I also really wanted to try to be more active in terms of my walking and my steps. And this has been a horrible wake-up call. As far as actually having, I've done pedometer apps and stuff in the past, but I do not walk that much at all. This thing's been tracking my steps, and oh, I look like such a freaking slacker. Like, now I'm realizing what office culture and sitting at a desk all day really does to your activity levels, and it just kills them.
Well, it's true, but you work out hard, because you know that you're not going to have a lot of time to be walk around. So I think that's important to realize, and don't get too down on yourself because you are working out hard 5 days a week. So
yeah, and I don't get too down, but as far as like a goal and accountability, it's opened my eyes to the need. I should get my ass out of the seat and walk around the building. Walk up the stairs more. Don't take the elevator. Yeah, I mean, I try to do that stuff anyways, but it's just this wonderful little reminder. And if you don't mind the kind of gentle nudges of a little vibration, that's all it is. That's what you get. You get this little, like, stick figure character that's like, take me for a walk. Or I need, feed me 110 steps this hour.
It's like one of those, was the newest toy this Christmas season? This past holiday season?
Oh, the...
Not Furby, but...
It was like a Hatchimal. Yes, oh my gosh, we both said it the same
time. You got a Hatchimal on your wrist.
Hatchimal! No.
Now, one thing I want to know before we finish up for this week, before we finish the review, how's the battery life?
So the battery life, they say on the website that it goes up to 5 days. I have experienced, like right now I've been wearing this with full notifications, so you can turn things on and off on this. I've had it on my wrist for 3 days now, and according to the Fitbit, it's not dead by any means, but it's in the orange to yellow zone. I think I can actually see. It also has breathing exercises on it, which is kind of fun.
Oh,
it's at 55%, and it's
long?
3 days.
Wow.
I've had it not charged for 3 days. So 55%, I think it'll probably zip down faster towards the end as most technology, but I'd say the 5 days is probably not super accurate, but it's close.
Right, yeah. Well,
which
that's
I think on other watches, it's lot less, like it's like 1 to 2 days you have to hook it up, but the charger is a little bit weird. It's like this clip that reaches around from the back. You have to clip it in and like hold it in this clip. So it's a little bit awkward, but it charges great, and it charges pretty fast, too.
Okay.
And the price point for this product, because I know that's what everybody, I started with price.
Yeah.
I'm going to end with price. So these babies start at about $129 to $150. So right now, I think, like, you can get them on Amazon for about $150. The website for Fitbit Charge 2 has them at a discount right now, for some reason, for $129.95. They also have some special edition versions, and of course I had to get the special edition version because it's rose gold. It was the only rose gold one. I have to match my accessories.
It's a fitness and a fashion statement.
If you're going to wear it all the time, you might as well get something that you're going to wear all the freaking time. All
right.
So I spent like an extra $25 for the special edition. It's a lavender band with rose gold metal components, which I think is really pretty.
It's very stylish. It's
very pretty.
But you said, I mean, way less than the Apple Watch. So, I mean, and
yes,
as far as, user interface and the type of feedback you get from it, the information it documents for you, it sounds like it's the winner.
Yeah, the functionality is really impressive, especially paired with the app. I will say the software, which is the app and the actual, technology in here feeding the app, that is really impressive. Fitbit in general just has some, they've been in the business for a while, so they've had a lot of time to work out the kinks. They have some great, like, community friend elements. I'm really happy that I finally actually have one friend.
Don't go too much into the app.
I'm not going to talk about the app. I'm just going to say there's a lot of great things that you can match your activities with the Fitbit to friends' activity. Mm-hmm. And you can challenge each other, which I think is cool.
Yep.
And I know is not really a component to, like, the Apple Watch and stuff like that.
Right.
So
feedback is always great. And speaking of feedback, if you guys want to reach out and talk to us, we really appreciate you guys letting us know what you think of these episodes. And if you've used the Fitbit before, if you're a Fitbit user,
yeah,
friend Shannon on the Fitbit, and then you guys can let us know what you think of the product. We'll be putting all the links and everything up to on the show notes at elementaltampa.com. And
I'll take some screenshots of what you get, like, kind of at a glance. And take some photos and stuff so you can see how it stacks up if you have another heart rate monitor, fitness tracker, and maybe looking for something different.
Yep. All right. All of our contact info will be on the outro, so that's the way you guys can get a hold of us. You got anything else for them this week?
I don't think so.
All right. This has been another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Challenges.
There we go.
That's the word. I'm a regular thesaurus. I love that dinosaur.